Right, Hebrews chapter 11. I encourage you to find your place. I mean, stand after you find your place. I do encourage you to find your place. Then we'll be in Exodus chapter 3. It'll be the first verse we'll turn to after that. And we'll travel some different places beyond there. Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 1, again, you might be familiar with this. Maybe you'll have it memorized by the time we're done with however long God wants us to stay on this track. But it says, now faith is the substance. That's it, the substance. Faith is the only thing there is. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if we understand the Bible to be correct, that without faith, there's nothing really that we can hope for. And as you look at our world farther and farther away from God, they're living the proof of this. Because everything they grab onto, they think is going to be the answer, they find out it doesn't keep them together. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's a good thought. So that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. Why would you want to please him? Well, hopefully, by the time the study is done, because you love him. And that'd be your driving passion. But without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So as we've been meditating on, really, and studying, understanding that since God is love, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And, you know, I was looking at the word is, just out of curiosity, you know, and it, you know, God, the Bible says that God is. We must believe that he is. And the word is means it's the third person singular of the substantive verb. It's the third person, is. That's three in one in our Father. And the word substantive verb is a verb that's solid depending on itself. That's our God. He's solid depending on himself. You know, it's just amazing. People that think the word of God is not inspired. And when you pick out and you see little things like this, it's just God picked every word exactly the way he meant it to be picked, you know. And to me, that was just one of those little tokens along the way that God gives us regarding himself. So God, since he is love, he calls us to come. He wants us to come. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And as we've been meditating the past few weeks on the reality, we've been on one of the thoughts that God is love. We're going to go there again today and look through some things about the character of God. And hopefully you have a desire more than you have once you began to love God. Now, I was talking to the family today, and actually my wife and Lara, and I was saying how, you know, the word responsibility is not in the Bible. But, you know, we grow up trying to teach our children to be responsible. And the word obligation, that's not in the Bible either. But people have obligations. You know, God never meant us really to be responsible. He meant us to be like him, which simply is to love. Because the only compelling, though, the major compelling thing you find in the Word of God is that the love of Christ constraineth us. And God tells us to owe no man anything, because he did not want that obligatory type feeling one toward another. He said, except but to do good. And they owe no man anything except but to do good. And why would we do good? Well, because we love God. And we love what God loves. And many people are bound in religious service because they feel obligated. They feel responsible. The Bible referring to the bishop. He said that he should not do it by constraint. You should not have any service for the Lord that you do by constraint. It means like you have to do it. The love of Christ constraineth me. In the times when I'm self-centered and on myself and even want to quit, the love of Christ says, you know, what are you thinking about? God gave everything to you. And then love, and then it just wells up that love within me and say, yeah, Lord, I just want to love you back. Amen. And so we want to talk some more about today that God is love. And hopefully you'll leave your praising Him for who He is. And hopefully you've been telling somebody about God is love this week. And, you know, I just had a good time at the meeting preaching about the reality that God is love. The Lord allowed me to preach a couple of different times because He's good. Amen. He's worthy of being talked about. Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. And Lord, You're no man. Help me to really stay true to the Scriptures, especially in such subject to define who You are. And lead me and give me great wisdom in the illustrations that I use to try to give meaning to the Scriptures, that I might not take away from the magnitude of who You are. And Father, give me even leadership about the length. Lord, You know how much I've written down here, but it doesn't mean anything if You want to stop in a given moment, that we might catch the full magnitude of the glory about what You want to convey to us. And because You want us to be a people of faith, You created us for Your pleasure. And Father, I pray that You'll touch every heart here today, that they would leave here desiring to be what they were created for, which is to please You. And help us to see by understanding who You are and saying it, as You said, understanding what You is, that we might really come to You in the manner that we please unto Yourself, and based in the manner so that we can receive the great love that You want to give us. Bless now this day, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and I thank you for standing. Basically, we've been looking at the different acrostics that you put forward and put a mixture of one, some today that some of you put in your heart and regarding. Because, you know, every member of the body is precious, you know. Many times people exalt the pastor above what everybody else does, but there's no piece of my body that I'd just like to get rid of for the sake of getting rid of. You know, if you cut any part of my body off this morning, I would miss it. Man, Lord, help me recognize that those things that came were of Himself, and so we're going to dwell on a little bit on that today. First thing we think about the character of God, when we talk about God is love, is that God listens, or God is a listener. Aren't you glad that God hears when you pray? Amen. I mean, thank God He does. He always does. And in Exodus chapter 3, we see one of the first instances in the Bible where God heard from His people for good. And in Exodus chapter 3, beginning verse number 4, you'll notice that the Word of God says this: "And when the Lord saw that He has turned aside to see," referring to Moses, when He saw the bush that was burning and not being consumed, "God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father." I was thinking at the meeting, they're talking about a young preacher. He went to a meeting one time and he was getting ready to preach and he threw both his shoes off and he said, "No man should step into this place here with his shoes on because it's holy ground," you know. And they're talking about zeal without knowledge, you know. So God is everywhere, right? So when this was God was kind of localized at this time when He met with Moses. So it was a holy place. For the believer, God is every place. He's everywhere at the same time. So really, if we carry out that principle, we can't go anywhere with our shoes on. Because everywhere is holy ground because God's inside of us, right? Where do you step without God being there? But it says, "And He said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, He said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said," notice this, "Surely I have seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Well, God knew their sorrows because He'd been listening. You know, they've been in bondage for several hundred years, and God, through hearing them, appointed a man of deliverance, a man that He anointed and chose to be the one to use to lead His people out of bondage, to bring them free. And God let Moses know that those cries that His people were making unto Him, He heard them. He was listening the whole time. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. just going to journey through the scriptures today in Psalm 34. Because love listens, as Bavon was sharing about how it's good to listen to your children. One of the things I hope I master while I still have some influence in my children's life is the ability to listen. They don't always, when they share something with you, they don't always need a sermon right then. And that's some that's difficult for me. And sometimes I've tried to listen. That sometimes they just want to share what's on their heart, you know. And many times that's not the time to correct. It's not the time to say anything. It's a time just to let God do His work, you know, and to listen. And God's like that too, you know. You know, sometimes we just cry out to God. You ever cry out to God? You ever just cry and God didn't say anything? Anybody ever been there? So it's good for us to do that too sometimes. Amen. And sometimes I'll be listening and I'll catch myself. Okay, I'm talking too much. And probably not as near many times as I should catch myself. But God is a listener. And thank God He is. And notice what Psalm 34 verse 17 says. And even my wife, you know, she shared that with me through the years. And sometimes she just wanted to share what's on her mind. You know, and one thing I'm learning about love, and this will help you in your relationships if you're listening. Love believeth all things. And so what I've started to learn is if somebody shares something with me that may be a bit off track to what might be right, since I believe all things, I believe they're going to find a way back. And I believe, especially those that are saved, no, they're not saved, you really kind of shaky, but still you got to believe in the power of God. And so that will help you not to react when people share something with you. Because love believeth all things. And even though something may be said that might not be Christ-like, might not be Christ-honoring by someone that you care about, since you believe all things, you can kind of be silent. So you know what? I believe it's going to come out good in the end. Amen. Because love believeth all things. And God listens. And sometimes we cry out to God. You ever cry out to God something later and you realize later, that was absolutely ridiculous. Anybody besides me? Okay. And God didn't say a word. He just let you cry. He just let you lift your voice up. He just let your heart out. And wasn't it just a comfort to know that He was there just listening? And you knew He heard you, and you knew that you were doing the right thing. And even though He didn't say anything, it was just something there to be able to cry out to God and know that the God of heaven could hear your cry. So the righteous cry, Psalm verse 17, can't remember if I read it yet. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their trouble. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Thank God that when the righteous cry, the Lord heareth. Psalm 69. Psalm 69. And verse number 30, notice what the Bible says here. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. You know what? When you magnify something, you can generally see it a little clearer, you know. I know one time I was trying to buy a mirror for my wife for one of those, for an anniversary or something, you know. And they have these mirrors that are true, and then you have some you flip on the back and it shows like 5 times or 20 times. And I tell you, if you ever get one of those 20-time mirror, you're looking at your face, like, whoa, you know, it's like I look at my face, looking at these great big craters in your face, you know, and these pits and everything. I'm like, whoa, and it just brings it nearer, you know, and it magnifies, and you know what? And you think, man, my nose is so big, my eye is so big by the magnification, and you know, when you praise the Lord, you know what the world says? Man, God is so big. And He's magnified and He's seen for what He really is, you know. And we need to magnify the Lord. We need to praise Him and lift up our voices unto Him. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that the horns or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despised, and despiseth not His prisoners. Thank God the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not His prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise Him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. Book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. In Proverbs 15, in verse number 29, Proverbs 15 and verse 29, the Word of God says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous." Thank God to be righteous through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 59, continue journeying toward your right. Isaiah 59, a verse that I quote often, but it's always good to look at the Word of God and meditate on it. Good verse to underline. If you're praying for someone that's not saved, and even if you have difficulty praying, and you wonder sometimes if God is really going to hear what you're talking to Him about. Behold, Isaiah 59:1, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. God's ear is never heavy, you know. God's like us, not like humans, where sometimes we get tired, you know. It's good just to listen. Even if you heard the same story again, just listen. It means something to people to know that you heard what they're saying, you know. There's times they used to cut some of my children off when they were talking about something. Well, the other one already told me that, you know. Sometimes I've come home and I've got the same story four different times. And I listen to like his new information of every single one of them. Because they want to be the one to share it with me. And I want to be like God, that my ear's not getting heavy. You know, you ever think people pray to God and God hears the same request more than once? And so we ought to be like God and be a listener, you know. And even when you listen, I'm sure I repeat some of the same stories to my wife sometimes. She'll listen just like it was new information, you know, stuff from my childhood or something like that. And I've listened to some of hers too, you know. And because you wonder why, because sometimes I'll share something, I'm like, and I listen, I know I told her that before. I'm like, why am I sharing that same story again? And it said the same thing, and it made me happy just that she would listen, amen. And God's happy when we listen, you know. And that's why God is love, because if you've ever been there and you shared something with somebody, and you know that it was love, you know, and it meant something to you to know that someone had an ear that was open that would just listen to you and just hear what you had to say. It comforted you. It strengthened you. And they didn't even have to say a word, but you released it, and you're like, "Hey, that was a blessing." You know, you may have never shared that with them, but it was a blessing that they simply listened. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, if you're saved, this is good news. If you're not saved, it's still good news, because this should be the day, could be the day. Romans chapter 10, notice what the Word of God said in verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm laughing because I think how many times y'all heard my same salvation testimony and you just listen. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad to God that whosoever shall call? Because God is a listener. How did you, the day you got saved, didn't you know that God was a listener? Somehow, the day you got saved, you heard the preaching of the Word of God. And you understood that you were sinner separated from God. You knew that you needed to turn from sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And somehow, some way, by the preaching of the Word of God and the confirmation of the Holy Ghost, you knew that if you called upon God, He was going to listen that day. And aren't you glad that there was no doubt, there was no wondering if God had time, if God had strength, if God had energy, if God was not just tired of hearing people cry out, he lost his patience with mankind. You knew that you were whosoever, and you called because God was a listener. You knew that you would be saved. And that was my case. Here's everyone that got saved. 1 John chapter 5. Toward the end of the Bible, you might find Revelation. Turn backwards. It might be easier. 1 John chapter 5. Talking about the fact that God is love. And building another acrostic today. Love listens. God listens. 1 John chapter 5, one of my favorite verses in the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5, beginning verse number 13. The Word of God says, "These things have I written unto you, They believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. It's good to know you have a relationship with the Son of God. And good you can know it and believe it, not wonder. I can't think of the number of times I preached that verse, quoted that verse, witnessing out the people. And verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, what does it say? He heareth us. Thank God He heareth. God is a listener. He heareth anything according to His will. He heareth us. And we know that if He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. Why? Because He listens. Thank God that He's a God that listens. Number two, you can turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. One of the things that someone shared, that God not only listens, but He overlooks. You know, one of the things that love does, you know, the very basis of salvation is forgiveness of sins. You know, where would we be without forgiveness of sins? And as I shared often, forgiveness is the pardon of an offender, notice this, by which he is considered and treated as not guilty. So when you forgive someone, they're not guilty. And it's like the offense has not, you treat them as if the offense also has not taken place. That's true forgiveness. Romans chapter 5, familiar verse, that you may know if you ever witness to someone and preach Christ to them. Romans chapter 5, at verse number 8, the word of God says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does it have to do with overlook? Well, because God saw the great magnitude of your sin and my sin, and He overlooked it all and died for us anyway. The whole very principle of being like Christ is to overlook the offenses of a lost and dying world and go to them and reach them and give to them and love in every loving relationship. If you're really going to love, you just love. You just overlook. You'll overlook faults. You'll overlook failures. You overlook rejection. You overlook many different things. You just determine by the grace of God you're going to love. And that's what the Bible says, that charity or love, it never fails. It never fails. You overlook. You go forward. And you know, when you see that person, you see him justified. And you see him set before God. You see him like God sees him. And God, when He saw us, He saw what God could do in us. He didn't see what we were doing. When Jesus went to the cross, He saw what He could do, not what we were. Because if we just saw what we were doing, He said, well, they're done. And God overlooks our faults and our failures and in order to love. Because that's what love does. It's in when the Spirit of God puts in your heart to love somebody, Satan wants to bring up everything they did wrong. Satan wants to bring up every unresolved thing you can think about. But you need to be like Jesus, and just commend your love, show your love to them, and just die for them. That's why, again, the life of the Christian is a life that never can fail, because we're called to be like God, which is the love. And Psalm 32, we'll look at a verse here. In Psalm 32, verse 1, it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You know, and the love of God just covers sin. You know, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Bible said, we're hid in Christ. And thank God for being in Christ and the magnitude of that. That went, you know, everything that I ever did before I gave my life to Christ, after being saved, God just overlooked it all. He said, I forgive him. He said, I don't see that anymore. I see my Son. And that's all I want to focus on. Past, present, future sins taken care of. Psalm 85. We're journeying a little bit more. Psalm 85. It's a blessing to have your transgression forgiven. It's a blessing when you have someone that loves you and treats you as if your offenses had never taken place. Psalm 85. Notice what it says, referring to the forgiveness of God. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Aren't you glad it says all? not just sin number 4,198, but all. Amen. You ever wonder if God would keep in count how many times you and I really do sin? I mean, think of that. I mean, I can't even guess. You know, and you think about that, and God, and it says here, He covered all of them, and then He says, "Look at verse 2. This is a pretty important principle." And notice what He said right after the verse. He says, "Selah." He said, think about that. Meditate on that. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered. He overlooked it. Covered all their sin. Psalm 103. And you have to do that if you're going to continue to love God. Well, really, you don't have to overlook anything about God. You have to do it to love people like God loves people, though. Psalm 103, verse number 12. It says, Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. He moved them so far away. Can't see them. So we can't even look at them. Colossians chapter 1. God not only listens, but the nature of his love is he overlooks. Colossians chapter 1, beginning verse number 12. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath translated us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Even the forgiveness of his sins. Thank God for the forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you really think about the love of God, how he overlooks things, and you know, he died for you knowing the sinner that you were. And so, in Isaiah 45, he said, look unto me and be saved all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Okay, God saw mankind in his sin, and he extended a call to them, knowing the magnitude of their sin and the greatness of their sin, and the darkness of it. And he extended that call saying, you know what, if you'll come, I can wash it all away. I can cover it all. I can overlook it all through the blood of my Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you accept salvation, then when God's calling you to do something, he sees the frailty of your flesh today and my flesh today. He sees even, he knows about the past inabilities and the failures and the things like that. But you know what? He's overlooked that because the call he's given to you is beyond what you can do, what you can handle yourself. It's based on the magnitude of himself. Just like it was to call you into salvation, what he's called you to is based on the magnitude of the Christ working in you. It never was based on your power and ability. And thank God, because he overlooks that. And so he said, I can still use you. That's why he says, come, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's trying to get you to believe that he is. And so when he's trying to get you and I to live a life that's pleasing in his sight, if we can just get our mind and our heart off of who we think we are, and focus on who we know him to be, and not just who we know him to be, but who he actually is, because that's better than who we know he is, know him to be, because what we think we know is not always what he really is. But when we focus on who he really is, then we can be able to do whatever we want to do. You know, love can give you the power to some strange things, you know. Think of when you love something, man, you just kind of have tunnel vision. You'll sacrifice, you don't need to sacrifice. You do crazy things that you never think you could do. I was sharing with somebody the other day. I can't remember if I shared this preaching. I talked so much, and I was the boys and I flew around the house one day, and there's this thing called this world's hardest push-up. And I think, honestly, my boys, I think they're stronger than I am, you know. And they were all trying to do it, and they put their shot in, and they both tried to do it. And my wife goes, why don't you try? And I'm thinking, I said, my boys are strong as oxes. If they can't do it, there's no way I can do it. And so I got down there, and lo and behold, I was able to do that push-up. You know what my wife said without hesitation? She said, I knew you could do it. And I was like, oh. You know, there's so much when I thought about that. And by the way, let me say something. It's not because I have a perfect record of no failures. It's not because I do not have even physical failures. It's not because I have been perfect in every way, but it's because of the love she has for me. She overlooks those things. And she said, honey, I just believe you can do anything. And there's times that I've been in the midnight hour praying and crying out to God, and just knowing that someone believes in you makes a difference, you know. And But better than that is, I'm just giving you a second illustration, because after that I got up and thought, hey, you know, maybe I can do a few things. You know, and when somebody that means something to you loves you, it gives you strength. It gives you power. It encourages you. And you know, God loves you. And I'm saying that again, you know why? Because many times to many people that say they know Christ, you know what I just said? You know what that meant? You know how much it moved your heart? You said, I know that. We've seen Jesus loves me, you know. And somebody, we ought to see Jesus love me. And somebody ought to just let out a loud noise and say, yes! Amen. You think about the magnitude of that, you know, that Jesus loves me. How do you know? Well, he gave his own blood for me. He overlooked my sin. Again, Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you know what? You know what God says to you? Going back to the illustration. God looks at you based on his love. You know what he says? He says, you. He says, you, 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 you. I'm going to make sure you catch your eyes. You, you. Can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is it because you're perfect? Is it because you never failed before? Is it because you have an unblemished character? No, it's because he has overlooked some things and he has confidence in himself through you. That's what love does. Love believeth all things. And love overlooks so that you and I can maximize and reach our full potential. Next thing we'll see in the passage, well, not the passage, turn to Mark chapter 5. One thing you brought up is virtue. And virtue is a characteristic that belongs to God. Virtue is a substance or quality of physical bodies by which they act and produce effect on other bodies. Mark chapter 5. So virtue is the substance or quality of physical bodies by which they act and produce effects on other bodies. So God is virtue because God is that agent, that person of himself, that his by the, who he is, it produces an effect in everybody. Anybody been affected by God? That's about half of a person. Anybody been affected by God?
Amen.
Amen. I hope you said it because you believe it, not because you just wanted me to hear you say it louder. But God is virtue, and Jesus here in Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, look at verse 21. It says here, and when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, or I've heard some say Jairus, I'm not sure which one. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death, I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched the hem of his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he said, wait a minute, something just went out of me that had an effect on somebody. Because God knows himself. Amen. He's sitting there, the multitude are touching him, but he said, something just happened. Part of me just went out. Obviously, that virtue had gone out of him, and he turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And he says, something in me that went out that had an effect on somebody. He says, that's who I am. God is virtuous and love is virtuous. Love has an effect on people. Love changes people. God changes people. Because we're saying God is love because that's what the Bible says. And love causes you to be able to do things that you could not normally do. It is that effect. It gives you courage when there's no courage. It gives you confidence when you had no confidence. It causes you to sacrifice when you would not normally sacrifice. It causes you to die to yourself and be selfless when you would want to, when you would normally exalt yourself. All these things happen, and by being selfless, guess what happens? You affect other people. That's how we live out the life of Christ. It'd be Christ-like. We die just like Jesus died, and by dying to ourselves, we affect the world. By being the light that shines, we affect the darkness. That's why he said, "Let your light so shine." He did not say, "Hide it in a bushel," like the song we sing with the little children. Let the virtue, let that what God put in you to go out. And God is love. And so there's something about God that just by touching him has an effect on people. And she said, "You know what? This person, Jesus, God, you know, it's great that God listens. And it's great that God overlooks." Because, you know, these are, we read from Psalms. Whoever this was, she possibly could have known the Psalms. How the Lord heareth the prayer of the righteous. It's great that God hears, and great that he overlooks and he pardons. Isaiah talks about if we turn, God will abundantly pardon. So God will overlook. But you know what? There's something about God, about his virtue, that I've had this condition 12 years. I've spent everything that I have. It's only getting worse. I know God listens, but I really don't need to call him, because God's greater than that. There's something about God and his love. And yeah, I'm glad that God overlooks. But you know what? There's something about, there's some characteristic, there's some quality about God. If I can just touch what God has touched. Because God is such a virtue, and there's such virtue in God, that whatever God touches, it has some power in it. Amen. And she said, "You know what? If I can just but touch the hem of his garment, you know." Some of the people, when you get a cold, you know, you don't want to shake hands because you don't want to pass on because the cold, and you don't touch somebody else, it goes somewhere, it goes somewhere. Now, I noticed in the bathroom, I was in Wendy's a few days ago, one of the new ones they built, and they got these foot stop things now, you know, because they know you transfer germs by passing on hands, you know. And we understand in the world, and so you hook your foot on there, and pull the door open so you don't have to touch the door going out. You know, because people don't want to catch a disease going out. You know, and so when everybody's sick, if y'all are sick, I just shake everybody's hand. I don't worry about it. I just trust God to keep me strong. And so far, he has. What I'm pointing out here is this. She thought the virtue of God is of such significant power that you don't want to, that this thing I've had, that no man has been able to help me with. This thing I've had, that money has not been able to help me with. If I just touch the hem, that'd be like me crawling down here right now and grabbing, touching the bottom of Darwin's pants leg there. And saying, just touch the hem, the very bottom there. Just touch the hem of the garment. You know, if you think about that, how in the world can a world preach a salvation that doesn't change people? I mean, she in an instant, and he was just on earth for a short period of time, she knew that something a man couldn't do, money couldn't do, if I touch what Jesus touched, I'll be all right. That's the virtue of God. And God not only hears, but we point out a different time that love sees the condition of those that he loves. So God knew her condition. And he knew her need. And when she reached out and touched, he said, "Who touched me?" You know why? He knew, but you know what? He wanted somebody just to praise him so that somebody else that needed the touch could be touched. Why are we preaching the love of God? Because somebody else that needs the love of God can experience the love of God. Now, I was in a hotel room, and I don't watch much TV, and I turned on just a little bit to watch the U.S. Open. And I was flipping there was some love story on, caught my attention for a few minutes. I turned it off, and I turned the TV off, and I was thinking, because all week long I've been thinking about the love of God, I thought, that's it. In a moment, I understood the power of television. And I was sharing this at the meeting, you know. People watch sports because they want to see a victory that they don't feel like they really live in themselves. They play sports and competitive things so they can feel a victory that they don't really feel that they can get. But you know, when you have love, you've got the victory. People watch love stories. And I used to love the Love Boat, man. Anyway, I don't want to praise any television shows, but I was lost. And even still, I still don't mind a sappy one if I watch somewhere. But people are compelled for those things because when they don't feel that love that God has for them, it kind of ignites a vision and a hope of what could be. You ever wonder why you kind of stay glued to something? If you ever watch something, you're busy, and those of you that watch television, and I'm not criticizing, I'm trying to help you here. I hope you listen. You feel compelled and you want to see it turn out right, and you're hoping it's going to turn out right at the end, and because you're looking for a victory. You're looking for someone to find true love. Like almost every show today, you know, is some person in the second or third marriage or some, or at least the second one. There's no true romance, just that starts and goes to the finish. And I was thinking this, our nation is crying out because they've never experienced the love of God. And if they've experienced it for the first time, they're not staying in the love of God. Because, you know, in the love of God, there's victory. There's security. There's power. There's grace. And in the love of God, there's security. Hey, somebody listens to you. Someone that sincerely cares about you. Who could care? Honestly, who could care more about you than God has proven? I mean, can we just be honest? Who could we treat with the level of sacrifice that God has made for us like we treat God and them still love us? And still have time for us? Now, I'm not saying we've all been mistreated probably to measure, but I mean with the level of sacrifice that God has made for the entire world, who could we give such a sacrifice to and then treat, disregard, not spending time with, not care about pleasing, live for ourselves, push God aside, not put Him first in so many different ways, and still love us like God loves us, and still just overlook in the moment a child of God just repents, He says, come back. And just welcome you back in. Man, that's love, amen. Do you realize we're living the greatest love story that ever could be? And that's why it's such an exciting thing to love like God loves. And the more you attempt to do it, the more you understand the love of God. And that's why everything, that's why God is trying to get us. And there again, the great commandment, the very foundation of everything that He is. You think about everything that Jesus Christ had to do. He was pure. He was holy. Why? So He could, for your sake, so you know He was faithful. Why should we be pure and holy? So the world knows that we're the ones that have been touched by God. So when they really do need God, they know exactly where to turn to. It's not for self-exaltation. See, man corrupts everything, and he takes the biblical principles of holiness and things that separate us so that God has always called for a difference between the holy and profane so that people will know what God is, you know? Man, and you think about this, God is love, and we need to shine and show the love of God so that those whom God loves, which is the world, nowhere to find Him. Not be hidden somewhere. But I was thinking of every form and level of entertainment and amusement that gives somebody, hey, Bible says, knowledge puffeth up. Well, knowledge, if we're insecure about ourselves, we want knowledge because we're trying to establish who we are. Like I used to. I'm not even going to share it, but one of the things I had a particular success in the world. that I used to love to share because it impressed people that I had accomplished something in the educational realm. And when I shared it, people were like, whoa. Oh, this puffed me up. And I was looking because you know what? I was missing out on value, and that's what we'll catch that one next time, Lord willing. I was missing out on value. I didn't feel like my life had value, so then the knowledge. I puffed myself up, made myself feel valuable by the knowledge I could provide. Some men, it's our physique because we don't feel the love of God. So we pump ourselves up, but we're something because we're big, you know. Well, why are you big? Well, because I can be big. You know? I mean, I used to always like look in the mirror and go, hope you ladies never did that. You know, going to the mirror and this stuff, you know. I wish, you know, you ever wish you could have a video of your life, you know? And I wish I could have back when I worked in the gym, the hours I spent in front of the mirror. and just probably some of the crazy things I did. Since we're being, anybody ever talk to yourself in the mirror when you're in that arrogant mood? And maybe you never did that. And maybe, hopefully you never were as vain as I was. Hello. Or you may not even say it, but you just kind of look in the mirror and you give that look, you know. You know why? Because you just missed out. You know, because we have the longing to feel like we are something, we're valuable. God's made everything beautiful in this time because he is love. And the virtue that he has, he's put his virtue out so you can experience him. God is the only real thing that has a positive and lasting effect on other bodies. That's his virtue. God wants to be virtuous. The woman, the Bible praises the virtuous woman. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. To read a few. No, actually, go ahead and go to Proverbs. I think the Lord wants to go to Proverbs. And Luke, and I'm trying to say Luke still. In Proverbs 31, the Bible talks about a virtuous woman. It says, who can, Proverbs 31, verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also yet while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet, covered by her own labors. She maketh herself covered with tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. That's what real virtue is. Strength and its honor. See, I had strength without honor. I had strength with self-exaltation. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. In her tongue is a law of kindness. She looketh well to her ways of her household. Eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. That's why I like to praise my wife, for the virtues that she's expressed. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. You know, some people can't see anything positive in anybody. And I used to be that kind of a preacher, because it was a lack of love. You know, and I know many a woman that have read this list in Proverbs, and they've tried to be like this virtuous woman, and they failed miserably. Because the goal is not to be like the virtuous woman. The goal is to love God. And when you love God, you'll do what God does. And then it won't be an obligation. It won't be a responsibility. And preachers will preach these things on people sometimes. Well, you need to do this. You need to do that. Instead of saying, I tell you to love God. You know, if you love God, you listen to His voice. And if I'm right with God, the vision I have for the church, guess what? They're going to come together. The things that I ask, and one of the questions I ask my children sometimes, I say, have I ever asked you to do anything that would hinder you from being close to God and being what God have you to be? And that's why my request here is, as a pastor, I only try to ask you to do things that will put you closer to God in line with the Scriptures. And because I'm not looking to make you look a certain way, to be a certain thing, I'm asking, if you hear His voice, guess what? You'll hear His voice, amen. And you'll be what God would have you to be. And if you love God, you know why no many people have any concept when Jesus said His yoke is easy and His burden is light? Because they missed out on the great commandment. Loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Because when you love somebody, what is considered by some as a great sacrifice is not a great sacrifice. It's just something you do in love. I think about the kids when they all got together and throwing newspapers to save money so Susan can have a ticket to go with Bavon and help take care of her mom in Grenada. But I tell you, we had some of the most wonderful, miserable mornings you could ever remember. I can remember the first time when I'm getting in the van and trying to go hit their head on the side of the thing and different things like that. But you know, we had a great time, you know, and just different things were going on, you know, and we just it was just a labor of love. We just enjoyed it, you know, and different things. And I remember when we had the storefront on Queen Street, and people came together and labored, and we cleaned and did things, and man, we just had fun doing cleaning that building up, putting it together, and different things, and different things we've done for the Lord, you know, and. But it was a labor of love. And when you understand that God is love, and God is His virtue in you, is trying to produce something in you that affects other people. If you read about this Proverbs, the woman here, there's not too much of herself in here. She was just doing something for somebody else. The closest thing you see to her doing something for herself is she making herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. That's the closest thing you see her doing for herself, you know. And she wasn't doing it to stand out as some virtuous person, because virtue is that quality that's in you. And God is love. God is virtue. And when God is in you, the quality of Himself naturally causes you to be selfless. And you want to be. Because honestly, the goal is not to be even selfless. The goal is just you see your Father, you see love, and you hear, well, that would please God. It's just like I say around the house when birthdays and things are coming up. You know what happens around birthdays and Christmas time, getting around the house? People start listening to see what somebody wants. Because they're looking for an opportunity to please the other person with a gift. You know what Bible reading is really supposed to be about? You're listening for an opportunity to please somebody that you love. That's what this Bible reading is about. When you're praying, you're going to the throne of grace, you're looking for an opportunity to please the one that you love. Hey, when we do that, and you listen intently, and you look around, and then guess what? If there's a sacrifice that you see that somebody really wants, if you can make that sacrifice, if you have the ability, you lovingly make that sacrifice because you want to do that. Now, if you don't have love, you think, man, I better get them this. They're going to be whining. Okay, well, if I don't do this, you know, I'll never hear the end of it. That's not love. That's obligation. Well, I better obey the Lord, or I better tithe, or my money's going to go in a bag with holes in it. No, God gave me everything. He gave me the job I have. He gave me the health I have. He gave me the strength I have to do what I'm doing right now. I better give and help that person in need, or so that God can do something for me. No, God gave me everything. So I want to give back to I want to give to a creature that God loves. I want to love my Christ like Christ loved the church. No, so I can say I'm a good husband. No, so I can show the love of God. So somebody else can say that God is good. And so my wife can see that God is good. If I am, by the grace of God, being a good husband, my children, if they see me love Love my wife like Christ loved the church. If they see me, learn to listen. But they probably need to keep praying for that one. I'm trying, but that's probably my weakest area. If they see me overlooking and loving in Sparta, they see me trying to have a life that produces a change in them, to be like me, no, to be like Christ, then they'll see where God is real. And they say, God can help somebody. One of the greatest things about being in the ministry, and by the way, we're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, is that we get to produce a change in people. I think of all the countless hours I spent doing nothing to fill empty voids in my life. I was thinking, the Bible says, he that found the wife found the good thing. I think of there's people right now while we're in service. They're on the internet searching, hoping to find what they would call a soulmate. And everywhere they go, they got their eyes open, hoping to find someone, instead of being complete in God and being led to someone. I didn't have the privilege of being defined to my wife like that. I was a lost heathen. But I'm glad to have a wife and be content with her. And you know what? I believe two things. If people really found the love of God, number one, a lot more marriages would stay together. Number two, there'd be a lot more single people on purpose, because they'd just be in love with God. They have everything they want. There'd be a lot less fornication. Because, by the way, if you're not convinced God is love, you won't have a good marriage anyway. Because you'll find out. You know what you'll find out? Can I tell you a secret? The person you marry is a human being. And they have the tendency not to be like Christ, just like you have tendency not to be like Christ. Never marry a person looking for them to be the answer. Christ is always the answer. And when God leads you to a mate, the only reason you want to marry somebody is because you want to live out the love that God is. You want to, it's an opportunity for you to live out. God, it would please the Lord if I married this person. So I love him. That's what I want to do. Now, really, that's pretty foreign. That's foreign in this world, isn't it? Because of what we always see, you have to see the love. And by the way, show love. I'm for being romantic. I'm for doing all those nice, sappy things that make people happy. Because by the way, the things that I do might not be the things that would please your wife. But listen, find out what it is. And if they don't ever say anything, just be bold. Dear, what would make you happy? and vice versa. What would make you happy? You know. But husband, lead the way, because you got the command. Amen. But the virtue, that's our God. It comes out of Him. And this virtuous woman here. You know, and suffice it to say, we'll close with this. Colossians chapter 1. One thing someone put about love, love is everything. And that's really what we just said. The reason why there's so many cheap substitutes for God is because people that call themselves Christian don't believe that God is everything. Colossians chapter 1. Mark this verse in your Bible. You know, it makes, the more you study the love of God, I understand why God was saying, James, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Because when someone loves like God loves, and they would pick someone besides Him. Now, God in His grace will forgive and overlook it. But adultery is a heartbreaking thing, you know. And when you love somebody, you want them just, you know what, true people that truly love, they want the person of loving to experience the joy of the love. Not necessarily the reciprocation, but they want to know that their love, again, the virtue, has impacted them. The reason I think saying anything about my wife, because homemakers are not exalted in this culture that we live in, you know, and especially in pastors' wives are not exalted in the situation to be in. They're expected to be perfect. They're expected to be the epitome of everything. And I have a good wife that I wouldn't trade for anything, because she's things to me that no other woman could be. And I want my love to have a positive effect on her. That's the virtue that God has put me, that desire. And I just like to make her happy sometimes. And notice what it says, and by the way, I just want to say it again. That comes by God, not by me, because I'm not that good of a person. And Because you know what happened? And by the way, whoever you're married to, that's the person you belong with. Because Satan will do things like this. And I'm trying to use illustrations so you understand the love of God. And somebody tell me if you feel like I'm exalting myself when I say these things, because I really don't mean to. But we can have people can hear stuff like this, especially later. Well, I wish my husband did this. I wish my husband did that. That's the wrong thought. The thought is, what can you do to show the love of God, your spouse? And the husband that listens, just you should ask yourself the same question. You know, what can you do to show your love? How can you exalt your wife? How can you honor your wife? How can you please your wife? And not how to be like me or do something that you think is nice. But if some of the things overlap, then by all means, just do it. And if it is something good, it didn't come from me. It came from the Lord, you know. So now, verse we're looking for, I'll just read verse 11, I think is one of Colossians 1. No, let's read. I lost my verse here. Let's just start at verse 1 then. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, and the love which ye have to all the saints, which for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which ye have heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long suffering with joyfulness. I still don't see the verse I'm looking for. Well, look it up with your concordance. I'm looking for the verse that says, Christ is all and in you all. I thought it was I'm not sure where it is, but it's in there. Well, to God be the glory. But Christ is all. And again, that brings us back to the definition that we were closing with, how it says is, because God is solid, dependent on himself. Christ truly is all and in you all. And so that gives us the E of the love, that God really is everything. You know, and if we really walked in that and enjoyed that, you'd be amazed how simple your life would be. Whatever state you're in today, I want to encourage you, God listens. That's just who he is. It's not something he had to try to do. He listened. He's a listener. He overlooks. Wherever you're at today, God has great plans for you. If you have breath and strength today, God has great plans for you. That's one of the dangerous things about, I would guess the Bible called a damnable doctrine of saying you can, once you, people that think they lose their salvation, they think they're condemned and they think they can never get it back, you know. It's a damnable heresy, the Bible would call it, because it just refutes the total concept of the love of God. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you just heard that, you're any and you're all. You just have to come when God calls, but you won't come unless you believe that he is. God is virtue. God produces the change on people. Has God changed anybody in this room? Well, let him keep doing it. And God is everything. And if God really is, it makes sense why, you know, if you really think about this. Now, if this is true about God being love, why would God say, thou shalt have no other gods before me?
I want somebody to answer that. Pardon?
He's a jealous guy.
Yeah, he's jealous. But think about his character. That's real. He is jealous. Well, but why would God be jealous of you having another God? If God really is love and all this thing we talked about. Pardon me? He wants...
all of your love?
Yeah, he does want all of our love. But remember, love is a one-way street. So how would it affect you negatively if you have another God before him? Absolutely. People that want to love, they want you to be present so they can love you. Why is God bothered by covetousness, which he says is idolatry? Because it takes you away from him to where he can't love you like he wants to love you. So anytime you pick up a, next time you have an idol, or something that you really want for yourself, and you think, man, this is not fair. I can't have that. Think about, well, God knows you're going to miss out on his love. And nobody can love like God can love. Nobody's everything. Think about it. I hope you take some time to meditate on some of the things we're teaching, and so you catch. This will help you be more faithful if you realize it. I promise you this. If you really believe who God is and understand the reality of God is love, every act of obedience will become simpler for you. Because you just want to obey him. There's things I used to do because brethren expected it. I wanted to look like I was a good this. I wanted to look like I had this in order. Look at that in order. Oh, I was afraid if I didn't do this, this would happen, that would happen. Now everything I used to do before, man, it's just magnified because I just want to do it because I love him. When I think about the things and idolatry, when I was turning on that television for those few minutes and I thought, you know what? I'm going to miss out, number one, on listening to God. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. But not necessarily lawful for me to turn it there. Well, depending on what it was, because David said, I was setting a wicked thing before mine eyes. But even that wasn't a command. That was David's heart. And David was a man after God's own heart because he was in love with God. David did those things because he loved God. And so it's good. So you turn that television off or whatever it is because... Or I did because, you know what, man, I'm going to miss out on some time. There's times I've been doing something on the computer and my wife's trying to talk to me. It's wrong for me to work on the computer, but I'm going to miss the opportunity to love if I leave that computer on. Because I have to turn it off to do what? To listen. And there's things in my life that I have to turn off so I can listen to God. And little things we do and overlook and each other's faults and things, and because God does. And we hope you catch the glory. You know, this is one of the most simple but yet deep things I've ever preached in my life. And it's hard for me to quit because I know I can't explain it properly. So I so desperately want you to catch the magnitude of it, you know. Because, you know, it'd be great to, you know, people that you really love, you know. I always think, you know, whenever I go preaching down in the States and that sentiment may be here, you always feel like you got to say, well, I don't want to be long, you know, because people are so time conscious in the churches when I go preaching down in the States, you know, because everybody's ready to get somewhere else, you know, because Sunday's not the Lord's day in anybody anymore, you know. And I'm not mad at people that it's not to. I feel sad because they're missing out. Can you imagine a husband and wife going on their honeymoon? Beginning of what's supposed to be, as far as this earth is concerned, an eternal relationship. And they've got the day set aside. They're all to themselves, and one of them's watching the time, waiting to go get somewhere else. Well, how many days we got? How many more days we got to do this? And in our world today, people miss out on just the Lord's day because they don't really know how much God loves them. Or there's something else that has consumed their love. And like I said, I'm not frustrated with anybody. I mean, I wish people could just catch the love of God. Because I want you to think for a minute. The things that you did this week that you just really didn't need to do. I'm not saying they were sinful things. They weren't bad things. But everything that you think about that we've talked that God is... You've struggled some in your walk with God this week. And it's because you've not been immersed in the love of God. And the commands and things that God has for you, it's just so you can take His yoke upon you, learn. He really believed what He said, that His yoke is easy. But how many children of God, I mean, if we were honest right now, how many people that know they're saved would really say that the yoke that Christ has for life is easy? And there's only one reason: the love factor. Because you think about the sacrifices that you make when you're in love. Like I said, I could use secular illustration. One thing my wife always remembers that when we used to date, whenever she would come, her car would drive up, and I'd leap over the balcony. And by the way, it wasn't very tall, so I would. But it was just like 3 or 4 steps, and I'd leap over the steps, you know. And when she came home from Grenada after being gone almost a month, when she came, there was a bar rail. And I remember that night, so I leapt over the rail to go see her and took her back to those days, you know. And I kissed that communion, that love. You do some crazy things, you know, when you love people. That's what I'm saying. And things that other people think are ridiculous, you'll do it because you're just in love. You don't care who's watching. We're so conscious about what we look before the world, but what does God see, you know, when He looks at us? And man, I just can't say enough. If we could just, man, imagine, you know, if we really were immersed in the love of God, you go to church and you think, man, it's 4:30 all the time we really have the day. Because it wouldn't just be the preaching. We probably have a half hour, 45 minutes of praise. Think of all the things that you've lifted up in praise this week and that I've lifted up in praise that don't have anything to do with God. Whether it be a technological advancement, maybe something that happened in the news, maybe anything, you know. Sports, like I would probably say something about, or just something I've heard, and then you talk about the goodness of God, and you think, well, what was that, you know. And I tell you, one of the things I'm thankful for in this study is that I've realized how many people really do love me or have shown love to me the more I study the love of God. I thought of many of the sacrificial gifts my children have given me and how they've overlooked many failures and faults that continue. And I thought of my own parents. God, have mercy on them. Man, I think of my mother. I know why she had nervous problems. God, I'm sorry, but thank God for His love. Man, if you just get, God is love. When would you come? Well, all the time. You'd be saying, well, when can we have another service? And I said, well, it's already been an hour. It's amazing, you know. When I preach in the United States, service got to be an hour, and people are just going to go home and watch television, most of them. Don't have a meeting on a Thursday night. That's when football's on, you know, once football season starts. People know more about the sports athletes and different than they know about football. Am I condemning them? No, I'm not condemning. Because honestly, you know, do you understand what I'm saying? So this is what's really been missed when we've preached against the world in the past. Okay, if I preach on television or internet or something or sports or entertainment, it's not to condemn you. But if you really understand the magnitude of God, do you understand how you're condemned already? Can somebody explain the application I'm making there? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you got another idol, if you got something that has more of your thoughts and focus than God has, if I preach on something against one of those idols, do you see how, in reference to the love of God, it's not condemning, but it's trying to save you because you're condemned already? Everybody say, what would be the condemnation? Anybody with me?
Pardon? But I think you just go back. What would you miss out on? The love of God. And I hope some way you understand that that's something that you don't want to miss out on. And do you see how Satan has done a job on even God's people? Because most of the people that backslide, they look beyond this. And you know why people choose the world? Because they see something out there they're afraid they're going to miss out on. And God didn't want us to be afraid to miss out on Him. He just didn't want us. He wants us to love Him and not want to miss out on Him. See, that's the difference. And right now, I guarantee within this room, fear hath torment. Because the reason people really aren't free in Christ, because they're afraid they're going to miss out on something out there. You know, the times I've considered quitting, you know what, even been preaching to what happens, they're afraid they're going to miss out on something that's a more prosperous ministry. I don't mean financially, but you know, we want to see that it counted for something. But you know how love always counts, man. Everything you do, you know. And people spend their lives wondering if their life means something. Well, just love, it always means something. Charity never faileth, amen. I don't mean to take a long time, but I don't want to preach a whole month on the love of God and we just miss it all, you know, because we and it still be a choice what you do with it. But I'm telling you, God not only loves you, God not is, but He is love and He loves you. And I pray that every child of God will slow their life down enough to really start experiencing the love of God. The first start would be to slow down long just to thank Him for it. And then begin to look at, you know, wow, God's done so much for me. Lord, I love You. What could I do to show You that I love You? And the Spirit of God will say, or He'd bring to mind something that He's already dealt with you about. Some, He would say, repent. Because that's the first thing some of you need to do. And why does He want you to repent? So He can... It's just, you know, it's just, repentance is just like... You ever try to hug somebody that don't want to hug you back? That's what repentance is like. Because when you repent, you can actually hug back and you can really receive the hug that somebody's trying to give you. God is really trying to draw you closer. He's trying to make you close to You. But if you hold, you keep yourself, you know. I'm not criticizing people like that. I'm just saying, but that's just an illustration. And it's people afraid to let go because they're protective of themselves. And God says, hey, maybe some people it's cause for hurt. Some people it's cause for an abuse. Some people we don't know. But I'm just saying, my mother-in-law was like that. It took her years to hug me back, you know. And then now I know more about her. It's because she had a lot of hurts and abuses and things like that. And God wants you to know that, man, you know, and that's such a good illustration because, you know what, God's not an abuser. God is love. And He wants you to understand that when He reaches His arms out for you, He just wants to hug you. And if you don't repent, you'll never really receive the full love that He wants to give towards you. So repent if you need to repent. If there's some things, maybe like me, you know, say, I don't have a television personally, because I'm spiritual, but because I'm not spiritual. I can't handle it. Some of you may be able to handle it and watch it and good, but I had to turn it off because I realized, you know, I missed out on the chance to love God. And so some of you need to make a decision. Are you missing out on the love of God? Is God's love worth it to you to have more of Him?
Some of it's not a television. Some of it's just something else, that some other hobby, some other thing. Some people probably just need to quit their job and get a new one so they can actually meet the Lord and get to know Him again. Jesus didn't really mean what He said. He said, labor not for the meat which perisheth. That's one of the most, you know, the most discouraging thing about this city? As people work all their lives just to work. That's it. That's, some of people, that's all they're going to do all their life. They're going to work all their life just to work. They're going to work all their life just to have something better than Jesus had, which, by the way, He had what? Jesus didn't have a place to do what? Lay His head, you know. I'm not talking about people in wealth and riches, but they're going to work all their life just to work and to have something that Jesus never had. So, yeah, but if He didn't, you know, each other, well, if Jesus a little longer, He would have wanted a roof, you know. Don't matter, you know. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. You might be amazed what God will do if you just start laboring for Him, how He'll provide, how He'll take care of you. You might live on less. You never know. We all have more comforts and conveniences, but I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to say, don't man, until you're going to get this life is over, and you're going to miss out on the love of God. And you're going to think, wow, what you traded when you could have simply had God's love. Man, God's a good God. I'm not really preaching now. I'm pastoring right now. Because I really would like to. That's what I care for the sheep. I have no desire to have a religious group here. It means nothing to me for you to gather and be faithful if you're just doing it out of obligation or responsibility. And you have no vision of the God that loves you, that really is just trying to draw you unto Himself. That's why sometimes it seems like I'm almost trying to discourage you when we have meetings. You know, I want everybody here, but I want you to think about why you're coming. I want you to come because you love Him. It'd be good probably for some of you to stay home and sleep some days and just stay in bed and realize that, man, I missed out on meeting God today. And come the next time because you really want to be here. And I don't know everybody's heart, but God had me say that for somebody. I don't know who it is. And honestly, please understand my heart. I'm not trying to be mean. I want you to love God. But I want you to know how much God loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, I know some pastors, if you miss any service, you got to report, or they're down your throat. I know a preacher in Sarnia, if you miss more than X number of days and you don't call the preacher, they'll put you on church discipline. I know the guy personally, you know, he's a nice guy. I've listened to some of his messages, but I'm thinking, well, where's the love of God in that? You know, that's craziness. It's nice if you let somebody know where you're going, but it's not required. Love God. Come because you want to be here. Lady and Darwin, they come from the other side of the world to get here. And they don't even know me that well, so I think it's because they love God. And Brenda, you live on the other side of town? Or so you come from the other side of the world too, amen? They don't even know me, so I'm believing they come because they love God. And we need to pray for areas like that. They live all the way at Steeles and Young. Pray God have a start on the church out there or something, you know. So somebody could come in a place where they sense the love of God and the presence of the Holy Ghost and that God loves them and God wants to use them and their life has purpose and meaning and value. That's what love does. Love makes you feel like you have purpose, you know. Well, I'm just trying to love you. I hope you understand one day. I tell you, if you take on the great commandment one day, you'll understand that day. Well, why do you keep dragging that service out? Because He really is trying to show you the love of God. Do you love God today? And how about if you love God, how would God know it? Are you loving Him in the way that you think you should love him, or are you loving God in the way that you know that he knows you do? It's nice to give people gifts that they actually like. My Father, thank you for bringing me to a helpless point. Lord, I'm only